Hey there, you're welcome to Founders Connect, a show where I have conversations with amazing entrepreneurs and operators in Africa. This is the right show for you to be listening to if you love behind-the-scenes stories about people, their careers, and not their businesses. My name is PC Timmy, and I'm very, very, very delighted to be your host. You can follow this conversation on social media, hashtag Founders Connect. You can watch the video of each episode on my YouTube channel at PC Timmy, or just search for Founders Connect on YouTube to find the playlist. Also, please share this podcast, subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment, leave a rating, and you know, share it, hashtag Founders Connect. Enjoy the episode. Hey folks, you're welcome to another episode of Founders Connect. Here I have conversations with amazing entrepreneurs, VCs, and operators in the Africa tech ecosystem. Today, I'm having a conversation with Tosin, the Managing Director and CEO of Endeavor Nigeria. Hi Tosin. Thank you so much for honoring my invite. I'm so excited to just like learn about your journey and, you know, learn some lessons from it too. So I like to start my videos by learning where you came from. So tell me about like your background, like growing up, school, childhood, your favorite memories. Just like give me all the stories.
My background. So grew up in Lagos. Was in Lagos till about, I was about 16. Moved to the States for college. I guess I should start from my family, actually. That's always a good way to start. So I come from a small family. We're just two girls.
Oh.
So a very nuclear, non-Nigerian.
My sister and my parents.
Yeah, just my sister and my parents. And small family. Grew up with my grandparents till I was about, how old was I in SS2? I don't remember, maybe like 14. Mm. And then moved in with my parents. So I grew up in a home of like seven grandkids, which was amazing. Mm. Because anyone who is close to their grandparents would know that they can get away
with anything.
And so I got away with a lot of things. But it was really good for us. It was an amazing time. It was good to grow up with so many other cousins and just a bubbly, lively household. I moved in with my parents when I was about 14. Went to primary and high school in Nigeria. When I was about 16, I moved to the States to go to college. That was a very interesting experience.
Also,
because at the time, obviously I'm the first, and so I was moving alone.
Right.
And so it was just me, even though we had always visited when I was younger, at that point I was being dropped in school and pretty much saying bye to my family and sorting out my life on my own and going on this journey, this college journey on my own. But I do think that it helped shape me into who I am today, because that entire experience made me super independent and helped me understand how to manage money, because I knew that if I ever got broke or ran out of money, it would take a while before they send me money from Nigeria. And so really grateful for that experience. Finished college very early, was super focused in school. I finished college in about 3.5 years.
So at 19?
I finished college 20. At 20.
Okay.
So I think I was just about to turn 17 when I traveled.
Right.
And so I finished college at 20, and then I started working in corporate America. Very interesting experience as well, because you don't have that many 20-year-olds working. And I remember times where we would have client meetings and we would ask everyone what they'd like to drink. And some people would say cocktails or like red wine or white wine. And then they'll say, don't give Tosin, or they call me Christina. Don't give Christina the wine menu or the cocktail menu, because she's not 21 yet.
Oh!
And so sometimes I'll be embarrassed. I'm like,
yeah,
can we not tell everybody that I'm not 21? But yeah, it was a fantastic experience. I worked at PwC in Boston. I was in the assurance team. Mm-hmm. I was auditing mutual funds and private equity funds. I did that for 3 years. In the process, I got my CPA license. I got my master's in accounting as well. And 3 years after, got promoted to senior associate and moved back to Nigeria.
Why did you move back? Because of the promotion?
No, so when I tell people why I moved back, sometimes they just can't believe that that's why I moved back. I moved back because of my family. Mm. You know, like I said, I come from a really small family and we're all super close. And it was always part of the plan to move back. So my parents moved back. My parents moved back after uni, even though they moved back at some point to the States when I guess things were a bit difficult in Nigeria, but then they moved back to Nigeria eventually. And even after they had my sister and I, they moved us back to Nigeria.
Right.
And so growing up, my parents would always say to me that we would send you to college abroad, you would work for a few years, but then after that,
you will come back.
And so after 3 years, after working in PwC for 3 years, and maybe getting into trouble once or twice, my family said, okay, I think it's time for you to come back now. I moved back in 2010. That's about 11 years ago. Yeah. Don't regret it. It was a bit challenging the first 2 years, just getting used to corporate Nigeria and the different, just working in Nigeria. I had never fully worked in Nigeria. I had interned, but not been like a full-time staff. And so I struggled my first 2 years, but then I guess I got used to it and just learned how to manage the situation. And then after, when I moved back, I joined a company called ARM, ARM Investment Management. Did that for about 3 years, then moved to a bank. I moved to Skybank. Did that for almost 3 years as well.
You spend time in companies.
So I get accused of not spending enough time.
What, like 3 years, 3 years, 3 years?
So, and then I moved to, from Skybank, I moved to the Lagos State Employment Trust Fund and stayed there for 4 years and 3 months. So I'm proud of myself. Yeah, great experience, fantastic team. One of the best experiences of my life. And after that, I moved to Endeavor, where I have now been for 8 months. about 7 to 8 months.
Okay, so before we dive into like all of this work experience, so you said that when you came back in 2010, you struggled for 2 years. I mean, I can imagine, like when you were saying it, I was going to ask already because you basically became an adult in the US, right?
Yeah.
So you went to school, you worked, and then you come back to a different system.
Yeah.
It was system. In what ways do you remember that like it was a shock and you struggled?
I mean, like you said, I was already an adult in the States. I mean, I was independent. I had my own apartment. I was paying my own bills. I had been promoted, so I was...
You had your shit together.
I had my shit together, exactly. I had my shit together. And then I moved back to Nigeria and started interviewing with a bunch of companies. And sometimes I'll get feedback like, if you look at your experience, this is the right position for you, but you're a single woman who lives at home. We can't justify. I didn't quite understand what they were trying to say to me, So I felt that some companies in Nigeria would pretty much like be involved in your entire life or want to know about your entire life. And the kind of questions they were asking me, I just didn't understand, see how it was relevant. And so I just struggled with that entire mindset. And then with work culture as well, like just little things like, if you work late, you're expected to be in the office at the same time the next day. And I didn't get that because from where I was coming from, we would get the job done. We'll do whatever we need to get the job done. If it means that we're in the office still like 1 a.m., we're in the office till 1 a.m. But then nobody's going to call you the next day and say, why are you not in the office at 8 o'clock? Because everybody knows that you were working till late. Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't understand, like, it just didn't make sense to me. I felt like some companies were just not flexible, and I needed flexibility because I thrive when I'm empowered and allowed to be flexible as well. So I struggled with that. I struggled with, you know, client management. It's something I now know how to do really well, stakeholder management, but I struggled with it my first 2 years. Just how we manage relationships in Nigeria, how we, when we want something or when we need something from a client, just how we go about how navigating it.
All the bureaucracy.
It just didn't make sense to me. Yeah. I'm just like, why don't we just ask the client that? Why are we? I don't understand what all this is. And so, and it was just, I just felt the first 2 years, I just felt dependent. And I just didn't feel independent. I didn't feel in control. And so I actually thought of leaving because I didn't feel in control. And I just thought, how long can I do this for? How long can I be dependent or not in control?
So at what point did you get control and say, you know what, I think I can do this, I'm not moving back?
I owe that to my dad. My dad is fantastic. And he gets me. And I'll tell a story of when I was writing the CPA exam. So when I was writing the CPA exam, the first few exams I failed. And sometimes I would fail, the pass mark was like 75. Sometimes I'll fail like 74, 73. And I got really frustrated. And I remember, and the way the CPA works, you have to pass all exams, all four exams within 18 months. And I remember that I think I had passed three, and there was just this last one that I was trying to pass. And I mean, I wrote it the first time, I think I got like a 74 or 73, I don't remember. And I was really frustrated. And my dad said, calm down, just leave it. You know, I'm gonna buy you a ticket. Come to Nigeria, come and relax, you know, see your friends, just enjoy yourself and then go back and try again. And so I remember one particular day when I was really frustrated, and I think I was even crying that I can't do this, I'm sorry, like I want to leave. And my dad said, calm down. I'll buy you a ticket to London.
Go see your friends.
Go see your friends. Relax a little, come back, and then we'll try again. And so I took a break. Mm. It wasn't that long. I think I took a 2-3 weeks break, but I just took a break from just left everything, took a break, obviously took time off work, did not quit. Took a break and then came back. And then I think as I started to get comfortable again with, you know, the culture and just, you know, meeting people who were going through the same thing, and then we get to talk about it or figure it out together. And then as I also spoke with older people who taught me like one or two tricks and just, you know, how to like manage people and how to just deal with, you know, working our working environment. Things started to make sense.
Yeah, that's very nice. Yeah. So like, we've talked about how the experience in America sort of became a challenge when you moved back, because like what you came back to was very different.
Yeah.
But in what good ways did your experience in PwC, especially because that's like the foundation of your career,
yeah,
in what ways has it shaped how you work now and kind of things that you've done?
PwC taught me how to meet deadlines.
How to work to 1 year.
Yeah, we have strict deadlines and we are regulated, so we can't afford to miss our deadlines because we need to release financials and, you know, there are deadlines. So I learned how to meet my deadlines. I learned how to execute. I think that's the best way to put it. And so I execute really well. In fact, I was having this conversation with my coach today. I have a coach from school, and I was like, and he said to us, and you have the ability to execute. Which is true. Anything you give me, even if I don't like it,
you get it done.
I'll get it done. And so sometimes people confuse that and think that I like it. I'm like, no. If you ask me to do it, I would do it. But it doesn't mean I like it. And so I execute really well, and also just PwC also taught me how to pretty much like come out of my shell and socially interact with clients, with my peers, with partners as well. And I'll give an example. So my first year in PwC, we do this thing called periodic feedback review. And the first year, my reviews were stellar, like really good. I was excited. Now, don't forget, I'm used to like doing well in school. Yeah. I'm used to like getting good feedback and good reviews. And so I was like, okay, as expected. And then in my second year, my review was terrible. And I was shocked because I didn't see it coming. Because in terms of my core work,
yeah,
I did that really well. And so I didn't understand why someone would score me low even though I did the work really well. And I remember having a conversation with my manager about it. She was Indian. And I said, I don't understand this review because I've done really well. Mm-hmm. I've done everything you guys have asked me to do. I meet my deadlines, etc., etc. And she said, yeah, that's all well and good. But in terms of like your social skills, in terms of like being a people's person, we don't see it. And wow. I said, what do you mean? And she said, for instance, like, you don't attend happy hour with like your clients, you know, your team members. They have all this, and usually in America, they would have all these like back crawl Thursday, something Friday, and I would never go because I'm just like, I'm not interested. I'll just do my work
and then go home.
And spend time, you know, with my, if I could meet up with a friend after, or maybe just go shopping, just do what I wanted to do and be individualistic about it. And so she said, yeah, because she then said, look, I have the same challenge. Culturally, I wouldn't be social with the team or clients or partners, and I'll just do my work and do it well. But someone gave me the same feedback that you need to be able to engage your clients outside the office because that's how you build trust. And that's also how you get new business. Mm. You need to be able to have a good relationship with your partners or superiors outside the office.
Right.
And you need to be able to bond with your team outside the office because that's how you would get to know them better. And so ever since I got that feedback, something switched. And I became, you know, more social. I'm a natural introvert, but people actually don't know this. But thanks to school, I realized that I'm an ambivert, which is like in the middle.
Yeah.
So I just pretty much just started socializing more, started going out with clients more, team members, and it actually made me do better at work because what would happen is if somebody messes up, because I have a good relationship with the client, you know, before the client sends me a nasty email, I would just get on the call and just say, look, I'm so sorry this happened, but we're trying to fix it. Please give me some time, blah, blah, blah. And the client would say, okay, no problem, no, and I'll give you till like 12 o'clock tomorrow to try and sort it out. But then if we didn't have that relationship, if I wasn't going out of my comfort zone to interact
and go for happy hours
then I wouldn't be comfortable enough to call the client and say, yo, don't send that email, I'm trying to fix it, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I have two questions. One, when you were talking about your background, you said that the work you did at LSTF is one of the most important work of your career yet. So my question is why? And second, in the last 11 years, right? What are you most proud of? You can answer anyone first.
What am I most proud of? LSETF.
Okay, so what?
So, I think LSETF, in fact, not even I know. LSETF so far has been the most impactful thing I've done since inception of my career. And I took a big risk joining LSETF. Before LSETF, I said I would never work in the public sector, work for the government. And I remember, so I applied to LSTTF because I was actually frustrated from the bank. Like somebody annoyed me one day and I was just like, you know what? Send my CV to these people. Because my friend had asked me about it and had shared something. I think she shared the JD or something. And I just said, government,
no,
they can't afford me. Like, let's not even go there. And I remember one day I was frustrated at work and I sent her a message. I said, please send my CV to these people. And then I didn't hear back. And a few months, I think this happened in, I think it was March 2016 that I applied. Yeah, mm-hmm. March 2016, and then I didn't hear back. Now in August of the same year, I had another opportunity in Abuja.
Right.
And so I quit Skybank to move to Abuja to join this company. But then I told the company that I needed some time off. And so I was going to take from, I think it was end of August till November to just,
it's about,
know,
3 months.
Yeah, relax. So I like to do that in between jobs. I don't like to go straight to another job. I like to give myself some time, you know, reconnect with myself, reflect, and also spend time with like family and friends. And so they gave me that time off. I went to South Africa with my friend for the first time. We went to Cape Town, hiked Table Mountain, almost died. Never did anything in my life.
You never did anything in your life?
In my life. I'm never doing that thing again. Because, like, and I saw like kids running up the thing. I was crawling. I'm praying to God that I don't fall and saying, Tosin, don't look down. So yeah, so came back, was getting ready to move to Abuja, then I got a call from the HR consultant of LSTTF asking me to come for an interview the next day. I thought it was a scam because the HR consultant's office was in Ikoyi. I was like, well, government is allowed, so like, why am I, what does this mean, you know? But anyway, I went, had the interview, really liked the things I was hearing and was excited. I saw the board as well. Loved that most of them are from the private sector. I was just super excited about the opportunity and the role. And so I then said, okay, let's see where this goes. But I was transparent. I said to him, look, I'm actually on my way to Abuja, but happy to go through the process. And so he said, okay, fine. My second interview, I met Akin Oyubode, who was the ES at the time and a board member. And I was just blown by what they were trying to do. I was blown away because one, it's never been done before. Two, there's a team of young people trying to do this thing that has never been done before. And I just kept asking and kept saying to myself, what if we actually do it? What if we're actually successful at doing this thing? Like, how many lives will be changed? How many lives will be impacted?
Right.
And this whole thing about not, you know, we complain a lot. And before I started working for the government, I used to complain as well. But now I don't complain as much because I know it is not. I don't complain as much, especially if I know that, if I know the people that are there and are trying every day to make a change, it is tough. And so I kept saying, Tosin, what if? You know, do you want to be part of this success story? Do you want to see what happens? You know, can you give it your all and just see where it leads you? And I'm so happy that I said, okay, forget Abuja, let's try this Lagos State thing.
What are some of the impacts, like the tangible things that you can look back and say, yes, like I did that. I got in because I felt that this was an amazing vision, and now that I have left, I can still remember this 1, 2, 3, 5 things that I did.
Yeah, so I mean, like even my first month there, I joined as the head of strategy and partnerships. And my first month, me and my boss, we went to Abuja. No traction, no program. All we had was just, these are the board members.
This is the team.
This is the management team. This is what we're trying to do. We went to the UNDP in Abuja. And at that meeting, the UNDP committed $1 million to train people in Lagos and place them in jobs.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. I thought that was amazing. It's never happened before. And if you remember, like, I've worked for private companies.
Yeah.
We've tried to raise funding so many times. Never been as successful. And these meetings that I would attend from, like, the companies I worked in, I would go to these meetings with really senior people. very senior, very old. And nothing happens. And me and my boss, I wasn't 31, I was 30. And my boss was less than, maybe she was like 33 or 34, I don't know, not less than 35. And we both went to Abuja,
went
to the UNDP, and we came back with a commitment.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. And then it was also validation that people actually believe in what we're trying to do. And people actually believe in the board, and that the board and the team can deliver based on the profiles and the achievements of each person on this journey. And so I said, wow, okay, we can do this. We can do this. And so from then on, we raised money, we started these programs, and I loved that everything that we said that we would do, we did. And I also remember, so when we even started, so I don't know if you know much about LSETIA.
A little bit,
okay. So the mandate was very clear: solve the unemployment challenge in Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the consulting companies had done like a strategy deck for us on how we're going to achieve that.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of programs that were recommended. So loan program, we had a loan program or lending program, employability program where we train people, place them in jobs, then supporting the innovation and tech ecosystem. And then lastly was like a, I think it was just market creating programs. And so when I was in strategy and partnerships, we raised funding. We tried to raise funding for all the different programs, but most of the funding that we raised was for the employability project, because at the time, I don't know if I'm sure it's still the same now, a lot of the funding coming into Africa or Nigeria is to train, to train and place people in jobs. And so most of the international funding that we raised was for employability. But for lending, we also raised some local funding as well. But I remember when we first started, we didn't have a loan portal, a digital loan portal. So people would do like, we'll bring in paper applications, because that's what we had. And at the time, we're a small team. So my boss, he wasn't my boss at the time, he was the ES. And he said, I don't have a head of research and policy that should have been in charge of working with the team to develop this loan portal. So I need you to
do it.
And obviously with my ability to execute skill, I said, yes, I would do it. And so I worked with the team that developed, so I was the project manager of the development of our loan portal. And it was tough, I'd never done that before, but something I always remember is nothing is rocket science. Just need to just calmly sit down and figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, just ensure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I remember that when we launched the loan application portal, obviously there were glitches and bugs, and people
like any tech platform.
And people were getting frustrated. And one day I said, you know what, let's just set up a support email address. And so that people who have issues can send emails, can email us at support@lsctf.ng. And so I got IT to set it up, and I responded to every, like, I made it a duty to try and solve everyone's problem. Like, whatever time, whenever I get it, I will respond to the email. For as long as I was managing that project, until it got moved to somewhere else. And then lastly, another thing I'm proud of is Lagos Innovates. Lagos Innovates, just implementing the programs, working with startups, working with early stage founders, trying to give them the access that they need, access that they should actually have, trying to connect them with as many resources as possible as they need. And so even like, I remember when we started, so we, Lagos Innovates has a bunch of programs, but one program, the flagship program, is the Workspace Voucher program. Mm-hmm. And I remember like when we started that program, we reached out to like a few hubs to sign them on. And after we signed them on, and I spoke with a few of them, you know, they would say like, are you sure you're going to pay us at the end of the month?
Because it's government thing.
Because like, and I remember like one, I won't call him out. He said, Tostin, I said, hold me, I will pay you. Okay, if they don't pay you, I will pay you. And so, so I pretty much had to like commit to that, look, you will get paid. Because the way the program works is, LSETF would give the vouchers to startups, and the startups will take the vouchers to the different hubs to use. And then at the end of the month, the hubs will send us an invoice. We'll pay. Now, sometimes the payment is delayed, but not, you know, maybe because we're looking for someone's signature, we can't find a board member, but it's never because we don't want to pay. And so I remember like a few people just did not believe that the program was real or that we would pay. But I was, for 3 years, 3 months I was managing Lagos Innovate, we always paid. We might have been late, but we paid. And even like the first two batches of beneficiaries, I had to call them. I had to like call each person and say, you're not using your voucher, we gave you a voucher. And somebody would say, oh, you mean it's real? I'm like, yes, please go and use your voucher. But I made some amazing friends just by calling everybody, you know, by calling each person. And some people also then were open enough to tell us like, you know, their struggles. So for some people who had like, say for instance, if you had a 20,000 naira voucher and it was going to cost you like 30,000 to get a hot seat in a co-working space. Some people just couldn't afford the 10,000 extra. You know, and they said it. Look, thank you for your 20,000 naira voucher, but we can't even afford the extra that we have to pay. And so it was nice to like get that close to entrepreneurs to really like understand their challenges. I respect entrepreneurs. I respect entrepreneurs in Nigeria. It is hard. It is so hard. And they're doing it. And they're doing an amazing job. And that's why like I like love to help them. Like love to connect them with like whatever I can that is in my power.
Yeah, and I assume that's why you took the Endeavor offer.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing at Endeavor.
Yes. So at Endeavor, we support growth stage scale-up companies, and we help them grow.
Right.
And so, and we provide a bunch of services to them. We help them with access to capital because we have a global network. So we have a strong local network and a strong global network as well. And so say for instance, if they're raising, we're able to help them by connecting them to global investors. We're able to help them with roadshows, and we also invest in them. Right. We invest a small amount in them as well. We help with access to market. Now, because we're in 40 markets, it's an easier conversation for us to have if you're trying to expand to any of the markets that we're in. We're able to help you with deep dives, we're able to help you with introductions, just help you like set up in that market. We also help with leadership, just helping you grow. Helping you grow as a leader. We have entrepreneurs who tell us that, you know, when I was managing, when my company was 100 employees, I could manage it. But now we're 300.
How do we do it?
How do I? Yeah. I don't know all their names anymore. I've never fired someone before. Like, you know, I've never managed a board before. I need to have a session with a mentor who knows how to, who can teach me how to manage a board. And so we just help with that leadership development. And then we also help with like your talent as well. We have strong partnerships with like B schools, Harvard, INSEAD, Columbia. And then they curate courses, you know, for the entrepreneur, for the entrepreneur's management team, to just help them scale and think about managing a bigger and broader team. So essentially, like, all these services is to help you scale.
So basically, if you have product market fit and you're like, you know what, we want to grow, this is where we are now, it's A Series, B company. And I mean, you can then get access to Endeavor and you can, you know, sort of full scale end to end, whether it's leadership, it's talent.
Yeah. But we have to, so we select.
Mm.
So we select and support. And Endeavor also has a intense selection process, but every stage of the selection process is value added. And so you'll be meeting mentors locally, globally, that would help you in your journey to become an Endeavor entrepreneur.
That's amazing. But a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
So two things I've learned from just listening to your journey is someone can say one of the reasons for your success is the ability to execute really well. Another thing is knowing that you have to be social.
Yeah. Networking alliance.
Networking is so very important.
Yes.
What are the lessons have you picked along the way that has been very pivotal in getting you to be MD of Endeavor Nigeria?
I would say being flexible.
How so?
Very flexible. So, and sometimes the lines can be a bit blurred, because then people then say maybe you're a workaholic. I don't know what it is. But I've always been flexible, and I believe in doing my job well, but also doing extras and being open to
doing extras.
And so throughout my career, I have been open to doing extras, and it's really helped. I give an example. When I was in LSCTF, my role was strategy and partnerships. They were looking for a head of startups. It wasn't called Lagos Innovator at the time, and they couldn't find a head of startups. And so when the consultant came to develop the strategy of Lagos Innovates, or of how we were going to support startups, my boss said, why don't you mind working with the team, since there's no head of startups, and just helping them, you know, with what they need, because you still need like a project manager from the client. And so I said, okay, fine. I mean, I just finished the loan portal, so I thought I was going to get a break, but okay, no problem. I can do it. And so when the consultant finished developing the strategy, he then said to me, you want to try running this for a few months and let's see how it goes? And I said, okay, I was scared to death, but I said, sure, why not? And I'll never forget his words to me. He said, if you sink, I will fire you. He said, you can either, but he was joking. He said, you can either sink or swim, but I will give you all the resources that you need to swim. But yeah, like, so I was open, I was flexible, and then that's how I started managing Lagos Innovates. And that's also just helped me my journey, like just meeting different people. And even though you might not see immediate areas of alignment, but you never know. You have to be open to at least hearing what they're up to, what they're doing, what their challenges are. And perhaps one day, you know, the stars will align.
That's a very, very good one. It's a very, very good one. Something I would keep in mind too. So, I mean, right now in tech ecosystem in Lagos, everybody wants to like start a startup.
Mm.
You know, it's because everybody's, today you hear this person has raised this amount of pre-seed, next tomorrow it's Series A, like it's just coming left, right and center.
It's a good time.
It's a good time
to be alive.
But there are also some people who, in the midst of the pressure, sort of know that maybe they're either not ready to be entrepreneurs or they mm-hmm. don't even want to. They just want to be like,
I know where you're going.
Where am I going? Where do you think I'm going?
You want to ask me if I want to be an entrepreneur?
No, actually. Okay.
let's go with your question.
Okay. So my question is, what would you, if someone comes to meet you and say, I mean, everybody I know is thinking about a startup idea and trying to build something, mm-hmm. But I want to build a corporate career.
Who wants to build a corporate career?
Say someone.
Okay.
That sounded like me.
You want to build a corporate career?
So let's name this person Steven.
Okay.
Steven comes and says, you know, everybody's like tech, like I'm an entrepreneur, you know, but I mean, I want to work on the people. I want to work in a company. I want structure, you know, I want to get paid salary. I don't have to bother about some paying other people's salary.
Yeah.
What would you say to them in two ways, just like in a way that sort of relieves them of that peer pressure, but also what would you say about actually building a career?
I think we're all different. So I would say to Steve, that we're all different people and you have to know yourself. Mm. You have to know what you're comfortable with. You have to know what drives you and you have to know what makes you happy. And some people do not want to be entrepreneurs, and it is perfectly okay. Mm. Because entrepreneurs also need teams, right? They need teams, they need people to work for them as well. And some people are just comfortable working for companies. It could be startups, it could be corporates. I think that's fine. I think it's about just, you know, we have to be true to ourselves. My sister is an entrepreneur. My sister always had the drive, you know, growing up. So when she decided to leave her job and start her own thing, I wasn't surprised. She's always had it in her. I haven't. I mean, so far, I might change my mind in 5 years, but right now, I like where I am, you know. So it's about being comfortable and being content. If you're not content, if there's something eating you inside, if there's something like burning up in you saying that, try this, I think there's something here, I think I can fix this challenge, I think I can fix this problem, I think this product makes sense, then absolutely be bold, bet on yourself, go ahead and do it. But if there's nothing in you and you're just doing it just because everybody around you is doing it, I would say don't. And I think if we're being honest, we know ourselves. Mm. Like, you know what drives you, you know what makes you happy, you know where you thrive. And so I'll say to Steve, just be honest with yourself. And it's perfectly okay. Perfectly okay. We have successful CEOs that are retiring as CEOs.
And are very rich.
And they're very rich. So it depends if you're fine with it, it's fine. What was the second question?
That was it.
Okay. So yeah.
And that's how we're going to end. And I'll just reiterate. For people who, if you have a burning desire, you know, be bold. And that's a very brilliant way to say it. Be bold and bet on yourself. But if you don't, then be honest with yourself to know that this is who I am and this is where I want to be. And still bet on yourself, but bet on that contentment that you have.
And I just want to say something amazing. I don't know if I'm saying this exactly how I heard it, but somebody said to me, if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, be the best number two. Mm.
Repeat it for emphasis.
If you don't want to be an entrepreneur, be the best number two. Mm. Number two is very important. Be the best number two and build yourself. And I think this is even and this goes beyond creating a brand, but work so hard, build yourself up so well that even if you're a number two, number three, you're a number four, you are the company. I don't know if that makes sense, but like when you think about the company,
you think about
you.
Like produce so much results that they always think about this person. And
internal and external stakeholders would always attribute you to the company. So just whatever it is you're doing, be the best.
Yeah. Whatever it is you're doing, guys, be the best. I think that's the perfect way to end this video. Thank you so much for talking to me about your journey so far. It's very inspiring, and that's for me. And so I'm setting.
You're not just saying this.
I'm not just saying it. I mean, I've said it to a couple of my friends that one of my favorite things about doing interviews is that I get to learn first.
Yeah.
And I get to be inspired first.
Yeah.
And like just like learn from people, and just, I'm like, yeah, like. So thank you.
I mean, I love what you're doing as well. I came in and heard you doing your interview, your video for your birthday, and you said you're just 26. And I said to myself, what's already doing at 26?
Working in one of those big companies.
Like, you know, so kudos to you. This is amazing, and it's good. And it's good to share in such a relaxed environment. So thank you for not making it uptight.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast to the end. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I hope that you have been inspired or motivated to get better in your careers, in your businesses, in your life. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the videos on my YouTube channel at PC Timmy, or just search for Founders Connect and you'll find the playlist and then subscribe to the channel. Also, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it. Leave a rating also so more people can find it, and also talk about the episode that you listen to. Hashtag Founders Connect across social media. Hey, I'll see you in the next episode. Peace out.